This is a Pinball News production.
Well, it's an honor to be here. It really is. Last night I was going through the brochure that we all got, and I was looking through this, and I seen people that I recognize that are legends, like Roger Sharp and Steve and Rob and Mike, and there I am in the very corner. How cool is that? It's just an honor to be here to be able to speak at the Pinball Expo. So I thank you for the opportunity. How many people have heard of Project Pinball? Nice. Well, then you know that our main goal is to put pinball machines into children's hospitals across the United States. And I have a PowerPoint presentation that we could go through to show you how we got started, how we go about it, and where we intend to take this. So let's start with this. Okay, that's pretty much what I said. It's real basic. When I describe this, that's what I say, placing pinball machines in children's hospitals. How we got started was, it'll be 4 years ago, a local hospital had a pinball machine, and my wife was going through on just a tour. It happened to be a Spider-Man that was from 2007-2008, and it was in the corner, dark and broken. So she knew someone that could get it up and working, which was me, so she texted me. I went in there thinking, this machine's only 3 years old, how bad can it be? So I go in there with cleaning supplies, Novus, and you know, a bunch of rags and everything like that. I went in there and I couldn't believe what I seen. There was a machine that looked like it was 30 years old. It was played so much, maintenance was never done on it since it was inducted into that setting. So we went in there just to get this one machine up and working. And a lot of people recall on Facebook, we went out there trying to raise money for all the parts, and we put 112 hours into this machine. This is a plaque that we've seen on the side of the machine. If tears could build a stairway and memories a lane, we walk right up to heaven and bring you home. And Jimmy passed away when he was 11 years old. When we seen this on the side of that machine, we knew that we had to do everything we could for this little boy's memory. It was a tribute to his being, to his memory. And his parents bought it. He passed away in 2000. And think about it, the Spider-Man wasn't in existence or being manufactured until 2007. So they wanted to do something that they could add to closure to get back to the hospital where he received the treatment. So we made it our mission just to get this one machine up and running. Here's what we've seen. Take a look at these photographs. Look behind Venom. There's 10 light bulbs there that were left on 24/7. And I never seen anything burn that decal like that. I mean, it was just amazing. Out of those 10 light bulbs, one was working after 2.5 years, almost 3 years. I never seen anything burnt and scored. It had 21,332 starts on the machine. The only reason that they quit playing it was a rubber from the flipper got stuck in the trough. And, you know, that's what the game malfunctioned, wouldn't start another game. That's when they were looking for someone like myself. Out of the 100 light bulbs, there was one light bulb on the play field that worked. Almost 60,000 balls were played on it. And think about this. This is in 3 years' time. It's amazing. 21,332. That's almost 7,000 plays in a year. I mean, how amazing is that? Oh, the grime on these inserts on the right. Just to get one area clean, it took me about 20 minutes just because of the, you know, that grime, the black, greasy dirt. It was nasty. Right flipper was hit 1.0 almost 1.5 million times in the service of 3 years. So with all that, we could see the numbers. So after 112 hours, we put the machine back together, and that's what it looked like. It really cleaned up well. That the dirt actually preserved it quite well. But there was over $1,000 worth of parts. The mailman kept bringing me parts that people out in the community didn't donate money, but they chose to donate parts. So I had rubber kits coming to the house. I had pinballs coming to the house. So it was kind of cool how people wanted to participate in what we were doing. They seen the need in this. So this was the one machine that really got it started. But the charity idea didn't come from this one machine in this, you know, at this time. What we did was, since the machine was never maintained in the 3 years, and you've seen where it was, you know, what it looked like, we dedicated our time. Every single month, we go back and we do the maintenance on it. We clean it up, take the Novus out, inspect the rubbers, make sure that everything's working 100% correctly. Then I get the play tested, which is kind of cool. That's the best part. And we wanted to make sure that it never got into that shape again, because it would have been all for naught. So by us going back, we were introduced to the little patients. They would come up, and as soon as I opened the coin door, they would rush in. So I had to watch my elbows to make sure that I didn't hit any, because they were stealthy. They would come up to see what made this machine work. So from there, I could see how much they enjoyed it. I would pull out the pinballs, and they would hold them like they were fragile eggs. They didn't want to drop them and break these ball bearings. It was kind of cool. They would treat them like they were glass. And we had a chance to talk to the parents, and they would say how much they enjoyed it with their kids. They would stand beside it, and the kids really enjoyed it. But there was a lot of good testimony. A lot of the parents are playing this machine as well. Not only are the kids playing it, but while their child might be in bed or maybe in a different room undergoing treatment, the parents are climbing the walls. They're looking for a distraction, because they're dealing with a lot of things that are out of control. As a parent, you know what I'm talking about. They're trying to make decisions on the well-being of their whole family. And if we could remove them from that, you know, that works out quite well, actually. It helps relieve their stress, helps them take their mind off what they're dealing with. You can't think about world problems when you're playing pinball. Probably everybody in this room could understand that. And then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, a doctor came rushing in, and I'm like, okay, what did we do? We must be in trouble here. But he was looking for us to say thank you, because not only does he play with his patients and to break the ice and you know, make everybody at ease, he was using it in the evening. After he was doing his rounds, before he would go home, he would relieve some stress at the machine as well. So we started getting all these testimonies and pieces and said, wow, this is something viable. This is a charity. So we're based in Fort Myers, Florida. That's where it started. So our mission statement, you know, right out of the gate, let's do this for other areas in Florida. That way I can interact and maybe do the services and the maintenance on the machines. So we said, okay, Florida. And I'm thinking, okay, we got Tampa, Orlando, Miami, maybe Jacksonville. So that's about 5 children's hospitals. Well, we found out that there was over 18 just in the state of Florida. And we're like, holy cow, you know, this is quite an endeavor. Let's do this, but it's going to take a lot more organizing. So we incorporated, got the 501c status for our charity. And all of a sudden, we come out to shows like this and start talking to people like yourselves. And you are relating to me, I'm relating to you. And people are saying, how can we do this in our state or in this city? So we started taking a look at it. and saying, you know, let's go out there and people have the passion. Let's find a way to do this. So right now there's over 334 children's hospital on our list. So, you know, it went from just this one to 18, which was a lot, to over 334. So that's how the charity pretty much grew from just this one pinball machine. It was finding out how important it was in that setting. And I kind of... So right now, we're in 15 different hospitals across the United States. Oh, yeah, that's our end goal. And it increases every day. There's Children's Hospital. There's a lot of hospitals out there that have children's... okay, that was me. Sorry. But they have children's wards and everything like that, but they're not dedicated to the children's name. So at some point, we have to say, okay, how big is our mission statement? A lot of people approached us and said, hey, we could use this for therapy for people recovering from strokes and everything like that. And I'm like, that's fantastic. I mean, think about it. I know I'm getting off track, but it's important to get these ideas out there. Think about it, standing at a machine, it's a pretty stable platform. So a lot of times, the physical therapist is trying to get people back up on their legs and try to bring them to that threshold of pain and try to push at every single session that they have. So what better way to distract them than put them in front of a pinball machine? Even, you know, some of the worst games, you're going to get 3 minutes. And, you know, a lot of times I might have a wrist that's sore and I'm not thinking about it. I'm like, you know, playing pinball. I'm not thinking about other things, so... There's other ways you could go about it, but we chose to do just the children's hospitals right now. We do have other phases as we grow, and funding is secured. We have other phases that we want to get into, but it's premature right now. I think 334 is a lofty goal that we need to focus on. St. Louis, this was a Star Trek that we put in a year ago. And this child never played before. She never even seen a pinball machine. So I gave her the quick introduction and the way she went. We actually had to pry her away from the machine so she could share it with other children that were standing behind her. So it was kind of cool. We have photographs of her mother just with this huge smile on her face. And it's pretty enlightening to see that. I wish everybody in this room could go to a dedication so they could see all the work come to this moment, to see that smile on the child's face and their parents' face. It's very important. And it's all through pinball. So how cool is that? Something that we all enjoy. That's why we're here. And not only are we sharing it with kids that could use a distraction, or child life specialists right on the right-hand side, she uses it as a motivation. This little boy's fighting cancer, and he's having a rough go at it. But, you know, when he walked in, it was really, really tough. It hit me right here. I have 3 kids myself. I got 2 grandkids. This child walked in. He's 10 years old. He was white, yellow with jaundice, had red bags underneath his eyes. And he was so nervous, I could see his hands shaking. He had a port where he was receiving his chemotherapy right in the back of his hand. So that's why we have him doing split flipper with his nurse, so he could be at the machine. He never played before. So I introduced him to it, actually, and I gave him the right side. I was on the left side. I had him plunge the ball, and you know, he was kind of nervous and everything. We played our first game. We're on our second game, and we had a ball go straight down the middle. And I'm like, you know, trying to console him and say, oh, you know, sorry about that or whatever. And he's like, it's okay. We're only on ball 2. I'm like, whoa. Okay, this is a kid that never played pinball before, and he has enough information that I gave him that he could you know, he knew that we were only on ball two. That's pretty good. I mean, this kid was picking it up. So it was good at that moment. I knew that he was really getting into it. So I took a step back. The child life specialist nurse came up, and she was telling me about how she played on the boardwalk in New Jersey. So I'm like, have at it. So they were having fun, and all of a sudden this smile appears on this boy's face. And by all means, I wasn't quick draw with the camera. It lasted so long that I could actually get my phone out and take this photograph. So it means a lot to me. This is a, you know, just a smile that appeared from nowhere. So after all the thank yous were done and the dedication was done, a lady walks up to me, and she had tears, and she could not speak because she was overwhelmed with emotion. So she reached out and held my hand, and I'm like, it's okay, you know, it'll be fine. She proceeded on telling me it was her son, and she didn't see her son smile for 4 weeks since he started the treatment. And she wanted to say thank you to everything that we did for her to be able to share that moment, you know, with her son, to see her son smile again. I mean, how powerful is that? It's just amazing how it lifts your spirits up to see something that I love and I could give back and help kids in need and parents. I mean, the parents need this as well. So that's the story behind that photograph. This was a Mustang that we put in Palm Beach just in the springtime. And this child standing at the machine on the lower left actually played before. And he was showing to other kids. He became the teacher. There were 16 kids in that room. And you should have seen, they all had their treatment stands, IV poles and everything. And 16 people at a machine's a lot. Now take in consideration all these poles with tubes and, you know, running wires everywhere. It was a nightmare, but they sorted it out. They got everybody in line. He was the teacher. So he knew what to do, and I just stood back, and he had fun with it. So I was kind of worried, believe it or not, about the Mustang. I wasn't sure if the girls would like it because I knew my boys would be on the carpet with the Hot Wheels and the Matchbox cars driving them around. But the girls love it actually as much as the boys do, which was fantastic. And this is a girl in the same location. Her mother thought so much of what we did, she sent a letter on the right-hand side. And those mean a lot to me. These are directly from the parents. They take time out because we put a topper on top of the machine. And they reach out and say, thank you so much. So those mean a lot to me. Okay, here's one that was done just locally here in Chicago. The story behind this, the boy that is on the right-hand side, Project Pinball shirt, had cancer when he was 3 years old. And he went through 4 years of chemotherapy, and now he's cancer-free. So his parents reached out to me and said, we would love to give something back to the hospital and the community where he received the treatment. We said, whatever we could do. This is a great story. I want to be involved with this, what have you. So we made it a mission to get one here in Chicago, and we held a huge dedication. It was really a spectacular dedication. I wasn't sure what to expect, but Gary Stern and I think half the company came down. They had to close the place down. They had to close the line down because we had so many people from Stern down there supporting us. It was fantastic. It just made me really humble. Gary was down there. And what's unique about Gary is Gary's always on the go. And I talked to him, you know, quite often in the past about the charity and about other things. So all of a sudden, he's up there, and we have TV cameras and, you know, radio stations there, and it's over the top. They just, you know, did great. The mayor was even there of Oakland. She came down and wanted to find out, and she actually played pinball with us. So Gary is doing his segue into Project Pinball and everything like that, and it was an honor for him to do so. All of a sudden, he reaches over to shake my hand, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, this is nice. I'm going to shake his. He held my hand the whole entire time that he recalled the conversation that we had the first time that I ever talked to him about Project Pinball, word for word. And I'm just totally, you know, blown away by this. I mean, here's a guy that is so busy with pinball, making the games that we love, that when he was down in IAPA, we had a conversation. It was just a passing conversation, or it should have been for him. And he was dedicated to our cause 4 years ago, and all of a sudden, 3.5 years later, he recalled the conversation word for word, you know, in the moment that we first met, because he cared about, you know, what we were doing. And like I said, he held my hand the entire time, and I'm like, wow, this is truly amazing. So there's other people out there. Yeah, you know, we might have got it started in Fort Myers, but other people are taking it back, making it their own. And, you know, here Gary Stern is aware of what we're doing with his product. You know, this is a good thing, and he loves it. Sean Henderson is right beside the machine on the right-hand side. He's off the line. I think his true job description is a quality control manager. And guess what? He's our volunteer in Chicago. I couldn't think of anybody better than the quality check, and he's a very smart guy. I mean, if I have problems with the Stern, I call him and say, Sean, what's going on here? And he's next door, so he might be popping in here. I said, do you need to get over here? He's a really good kid. But he's our volunteer. So every month, even though this machine's up in Chicago here, if a ball gets stuck or something goes down, they call us, we call Sean, and Sean runs out there to take care of it. That's how our local charity gets out there to other places. We're in San Francisco, Boston. It wouldn't be responsible for me to jump on the plane to get a stuck ball or, you know, maybe a light bulb that came loose. Here's one. I showed you the St. Louis Children's Hospital with their Star Trek, and another message just found us. And I love these because it shows, you know, after the dedication, it still lives on with the intensity that we, you know, have. And you know, with the kids, yeah, their stay might be as short as a couple days, or it might be for a couple weeks. And then they return to chemotherapy as outpatients. And this was important because the story that she gave me, it's not, you know, part of this right here, but what was kind of cool was she shared with me that it was a day of chemotherapy. I think it was every Wednesday they had to go back for chemotherapy. And after the therapy, he would get sick for 2 to 3 days afterwards. It would make him that sick. So all of a sudden on a particular Wednesday, she couldn't find her son. He wasn't in the house, was looking all over the place. Then all of a sudden she looked out front and the car door was open. So all of a sudden she walks out and, you know, was asking, okay, why are you out here? Do you know where we're going? And he's like, oh yeah, I want to go back and play pinball. So, you know, how powerful is that? You know, he knows that he's going to be sick for 2 to 3 days. But all of a sudden, he's looking forward to going back into that setting to play pinball. I mean, that's pretty powerful. I mean, that's truly amazing. Here's a video that we did.
Doing a great job of bringing pinball to people who may not have been exposed to it. For children who are in a hospital especially, they may need something just to enjoy.
It helps you use different parts of your mind, which is strategy and
Ultimately, this is fun. I work in a children's hospital. I'm a school teacher in the child life department. The novelty of a pinball machine is great for children in a children's hospital.
That's getting them up off their feet. That's taking away a little bit of the discomfort that they, that you, I mean, you can imagine they're going through.
Kids that need this extra boost of fun or when they're sitting around in the hospital for a long time, when there's something fun to do. The most fun.
I think there's a healing accident, a healing element to pinball, and it just tends to bring people together, and I think it's something that people can bond over, and I just think there's no better place than hospitals for kids to be able to have some fun during difficult times.
And then the staff can enjoy the pinball machines as well. I mean, they have really chaotic and stressful jobs, and to be able to play pinball, even for just 5 minutes, is a breather.
Social thing, so if there are more kids around, maybe they can play together and do a little bonding over it too. It's a really fun toy to be playing with.
People just falling in love with pinball like all over again. There's four or five different manufacturers out there. It's becoming more of a family-friendly activity, and people are just really enjoying it.
There's just so many pinball machines that are appropriate for kids of all ages that it would be a wonderful getaway for kids.
Some fun, and they help kids build a sense of community and just put a smile on people's faces.
I love Project Pinball. I think it's great for kids to have something to do that's cathartic, that allows them to take a step away and become all absorbed in something else. It completely changes their focus.
When I was 15, I had cancer therapy. I had surgery at a hospital where my parents took me to the local arcade just because I loved pinball so much. Surgery, I was in a wheelchair sitting up to a couple of pinball machines, and that's really helped me. Helped me get through the surgery. For the next year and a half, every time I went to the hospital and had chemo, we let out this arcade and I would play for several hours. And that just really helped get my mind off of things. And it was just great. I always did love pinball, but
thank you.
How cool was that? I mean, that was done at Papa. You could hear the games in the background. We grabbed these guys and asked them one question. Why do you think a pinball machine works in the children's hospitals? We didn't give them any information. They knew what we were about, and they came up with, you know, how they could, you know, relate to it. So there's people that you recognize there and their names and everything like that. I mean, it was, I think it's a great video. Because it's not my words, it's their words. They're saying why this is so important. We're going to skip along. I want to mention this one. This was a machine that we just did up in Boston in July. We went on a campaign across the United States. Maybe you guys seen it. We were on the road for 5.5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. We put 10,137 miles on a vehicle. We went to three major shows. We went to Pintastic, California Extreme, and then returned back to Replay FX in Pinburg. We dedicated five machines during that time. We went to Boston, San Francisco, Omaha, Columbus in Baltimore. So, you know, this was one that we did. It was a Jersey Jack, Wizard of Oz. This child could not wait to play this. He kept knocking everybody out of the way. He didn't care if there was adults in front of him. He just wanted at that machine. And, you know, he was just there. We didn't have to show him how to do anything. He seen us test playing, and he walked out there like he knew it. So, you know, we just had to show him the hit to start one time. You know, that's it for a one-player game. But, you know, that's how easy it is in these settings. These kids see something new and exciting. This was a dedication out in San Francisco. That's Andre, if you don't recognize him from the back. He's a world champion. So he's playing against these kids. I'm like, Andre, you got to play one-handed. You can't beat these kids with two hands. So he was a sport. He started playing one-handed with the kids. He still had a score of 24 million with one hand, so it wasn't too bad. This was the one that we did in Omaha. It was a Shrek machine that found us. She never played before. We were getting releases and everything like we do in the settings, and all of a sudden she came past and did a double take into the room. I was watching the door when she did it, and you know, I asked for her to come in, and the camera guys that were setting up said, no, no, we're not ready. I'm like, nope, she wants to play pinball. She's going to play pinball now. So we were able to get her, and that's her brother right beside her. She's going through active chemotherapy for leukemia. So, you know, that's something. This machine, by the way, we do the audits every single month. 2,500 plays in the first month. 2,500. I mean, if I was an operator, I would love to have that, Don. 2,500 on a machine. You know, I think that would be stellar to have. And I'm like, okay, wow, that's amazing. Next month after that, we had over 2,600. So it's actively helping in playing, being played. So how cool is that? I'm not going to go into this, but the biggest hurdle that we have is people think that we just show up and here's a pinball machine that goes into hospital, everybody's happy. No, they're thinking of older machines. They're thinking of the lewd and crude machines that we grew up with, maybe in the 70s and what have you, with, you know, the women on there. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. So we have to put that in the past and say, no, these are family values. We're not going to put a Walking Dead or, you know, other machines in there, obviously, but we could put an Iron Man that everybody could relate to. There was three movies on this, two movies for Star Trek, you know, so these are modern themes that they could identify with, and usually when we approach them, they're like, oh, man, they still make pinball machines? We're like, yep. You know, they just came out with the newest one, Game of Thrones. Who knew? And what we do as a charity, not only do we pay for the machine to go in there, we don't abandon the machines. We make sure that they're taken care of every single month. So we provide all the parts. If something breaks, we get a hold of our contacts and vendors and ship our volunteers a part. So if anybody in this room would love to become a volunteer, we would love to have you. We want you to donate your time in your service, and we take care of everything, cleaning supplies, parts, anything like that. And, you know, we need your help. That's how this charity from Florida becomes a local charity across the United States. And here's what it takes. It takes an average of $10,000 to put a machine in there. Everybody knows what a machine costs in this room, right? You know, it's probably half of that, but not only do we place the machine, we have to make sure that everything's taken care of, and you know we have insurances that follow, of course, and overhead advertisement, everything like that. So it's actually $9,334, but $10,000 is the easier number for people to go back and return. So it's just not one machine. It's not just, you know, buying a machine and saying, okay, there you go, and walking away. It's too many hardships that way. It costs around $500 a year to do the maintenance on the machine. You know, cleaning supplies, parts, rubbers, what have you. And that's averaged out. We have older machines in our service that might bring that number up newer than a brand new machine. Okay, our funds are generated from shows and events, just like we're here. You know, we actively will take donations all the time. We have hospitals that are waiting for us to get to. So we're always in a state of fundraising. We have hospitals waiting for our program. They love us, and we did all the paperwork, insurance, all our contracts are signed, agreements. We're just waiting for the funds to purchase the machines. We do the pinball sweepstakes. Has everybody seen that? $50. One out of 200 chances to win a brand new Stern pinball machine of your choice. You could choose anyone that's in production. It could be an Iron Man Pro. It could be, you know, Metallica, Game of Thrones. $50, 200 entries only. Once there's 200, we shut it down. We start the next one. That way we could buy a machine to give away, and then we could receive a machine for the hospital. That's how we get these machines for these hospitals. We do fundraisers constantly. As soon as I go back on Monday, we have to get ready for a fundraiser on this coming, this next Saturday. Benefit tournaments. I ask everybody that's a tournament director here or someone that wants to hold an open house. Don is having one at his place at an arcade up in South Carolina. What they're doing is, what's that?
North Carolina.
I'm sorry, Don. But what they do is they have $30 in, come in, and it's a regular tournament, just like Trent's holding out here, qualifying or something like that. All the proceeds go to us. And what we do is any money that comes in from North Carolina, we give it right back to them. We hold it local. So if you're in San Francisco and working hard, we're not going to take it to Albuquerque. Am I getting the hook? Okay, we have T-shirt sales and everything like that. Let me give you the information on how you could contact me. Say good things about the charity also. That always helps. It's amazing that a friend of a friend contacts us because, like Don went to Omaha, talked to a couple people. All of a sudden, the administrator from the hospital calls me. I'm like, how the heck did they find us in Omaha? I mean, it's word of mouth. So if you like what I'm saying, go out there. Please say great things. Come out on Facebook and everything like that. And that's how you could contact us. That's my private number right there. So if you have any questions at all that I can't answer today, give me a call. You could contact me directly. That's all the information that you need on how to find us. I'm going to be out front right by the tournament. Please come up and, you know, talk to me. If you have questions, only because we're running really short here, come out there, ask me. I love questions. It shows the interest of the community, and it helps us tremendously. So I thank you for being here. I was quite honored to be in front of you guys. So thank you for having me.